to the masters. Break it down.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, send a message. Aaron will read it. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. It's a Tuesday, and yeah, we're getting Tuesday texts, just so you know.
What's that mean?
There's always a few idiots on a Tuesday for some reason. I don't know why, what it is, but that's always the day we get most of the, just dumb stuff.
Okay.
That's not worth repeating, which is why I don't repeat it.
Just, hey, cool.
But there's also, I'd say about 85% of stuff really good on there. And including, I think that Richard Sherman thing was perfect. If you missed the first hour, it was all sports.
Two sports.
Yeah. I mean, very weird for a Tuesday that, and when sports is really slowing down. But, yeah. Somebody said, sent me a Aaron Rodgers hating the last episode of Game of Thrones epic rant. I can't really watch videos while I'm doing the show. Sorry, man. AKA says worst ending Rockets or Game of Thrones Rockets. I don't think that ending was, well, I was never going to be satisfied with that particular king choice because I didn't think the character was that interesting, but that's okay. They surprised me. I saw a couple of things I wanted to get to on that. Just to wrap it up at some point today.
I'm all right with that.
You want to squeeze in one more call, though, since we opened this can of worms?
Sure.
Joey?
Joey.
What's up?
Yeah, this is Joey.
Hey, man.
Hey, yeah, I just had a comment about Robert Osuna, and you're probably going to disagree with me, but I'm just saying all the people that are, like, downing Robert Osuna, I think if he pitches a Game 7 and gets a save in the World Series, they're going to be the same people that are going to be the first ones on Twitter praising him, and they're going to be the first ones in line at the victory parade this season. Thanks, guys.
Maybe so. I mean, I know I won't be. And for me, guys, I mean, he's playing awesome right now.
Yeah,
but I still I don't like that he's on the team. I you know, I've softened on it to where I'm not mad that he's on the team. I when it happened, I was disgusted. I was like, you got to be kidding me! Why would they do this? And I thought it was a real bummer, but like, you know, I mean, sometimes I don't know if it's, I've gotten used to it. I don't know. I don't know what it is, honestly. I don't know why I feel differently now than I did, but I don't feel as upset by it as I once did. And maybe it's just, I've gotten used to it being the way it is. That's what it is.
Well, this debate is old and it's not worth having again. I do think that the point that I was making was that there are people out there, especially outside of Houston, that really started disliking the Astros because of that.
Yeah.
And it's not really about whether or not they should have done it at this point. It's done. The guy's pitching well for him. But you also will have that perception out there. That's it.
Which, by the way, you know who else is pitching really well? Ken Giles.
Yeah.
So, they not to say that, you know, maybe he did need a change of scenery. I don't know. But they could still have a good closer without the PR hit that they took. But they decided to do it, so, you know, that's not...
Well, but again, with closers, though, you know how sometimes...
They're head cases, yeah.
Yeah, if it gets in your head in a place, Brad Lidge... Apart here, and then he goes to Philadelphia, and he's lights out. Sometimes you just have to, you get where you can't, if you can't trust a guy, and then he starts feeling it, it gets in his head, you have to make that move.
Yep.
So, all right, 713-780-ESPN's your number. Texans OTA's underway. Guess who's not there? Jadeveon Clowney.
What?
Yeah, not that anyone expected him to show up.
Nor does he have any reason to at this point.
Yeah, I think at some point, I don't know that now is the time. I think you had, if you're going to move him or try to move him, it had to be before the draft.
Yeah.
I don't think you can do anything now, but I think so they have until July 15th to agree to a new contract or he'll be on the franchise tag. From what I understand, they're not close.
Yeah.
So also we will have Cody Stutz observations on the OTAs on Sports Map here. First chance I get to go in and put it up. He says, how can a Rockets ending be worse than Thrones? It's the same as the last 3 years. No, this one was more creative. It came home needing a win and no Kevin Durant. And they laid
sure, even Danny won on the road.
Yeah, exactly.
Which was that another thing that you found odd? It almost seemed like instantly that King's Landing was less like destroyed. Like,
That's a big place, and there were a million people there. Were a million.
I know, but it seemed like they rebuilt pretty fast. Like, and it wasn't totally rebuilt, but like someone came and swept up all the ash and stuff where they met. Like, they found a decent spot, and then like remember. Winterfell was like, I mean, it was an S show. The dead like killed everybody, and there wasn't a lot of time for cleanup, you know. Yet when Sansa gets back, it's just like, oh, business as usual. They've rebuilt Winterfell, and now no worries. No sign that the dead were roaming through here.
Yeah, they didn't really show much of Winterfell, though. They just kind of showed her
the Great Hall, I guess.
I did see what someone called a plot hole, which I think would set up for a nice sequel. When Dany gets carried off on the dragon, and nobody knows where she's going, there was a red witch that swore allegiance to her, and then that just disappeared. You know who brings people back to life?
But that red witch is dead, right?
No, not that one. There was a different one
red witch.
She was over in Essos, and so think about this: the dragon flies her over to the red witch. Red witch brings her back. How pissed do you think she's going to be now?
That's true.
She was pissed off enough to destroy a city. Imagine now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I did have, there's one thing I wanted to get to today because, you know, it is over. We're done with it. But I saw a ranking of the greatest episodes.
Yes.
And I'm curious to get your thoughts on it. Because, by the way, it set an all-time record for HBO ratings, which is weird to me. Okay, because that means the people watching it live, that means there's people who've never seen the show before if that's the highest rated thing you've ever had.
Right.
How does that make any sense?
I don't know. I mean, it's just like what we do. We have to twist numbers to make it sound good.
Yeah, I guess so. we don't have to twist the numbers too much.
Well, we're lucky. Those other guys, they're having to do some real twisting right now.
So here you are. Here's your ranking. Number 15 was Season 8, Episode 2, which was when Jamie knighted.
They said that was the best?
No, and that's number 15.
All time?
Yeah. I thought it was better than you did, but that's the entire season for me.
But, I mean, can you imagine, like, do you think any episode this season was so great that it should go on the all-time episode list?
If you were going to do one, I would have thought that would probably be the one. But, again, there were some,
I thought
episode, there were some dog episodes in prior seasons. I wouldn't put anything from season 7 on there, I don't think.
I don't either. The only episode in season 8 that I would even defend as like a good episode, and I didn't even think it was great, but I thought it was just better than the other ones, was episode 5.
That was probably the best one. The number 14, season 1, episode 1, Winter is Coming. That started the whole thing off, The Things We Do for Love.
Yeah.
Number 13 was Home when the wildlings storm Castle Black and they resurrect Jon Snow.
Okay, that was good.
Number 12, season 4, episode 6, The Laws of Gods and Men. That's when Tyrion was on trial for the death of King Joffrey.
Oh, yeah, I like that one.
That was a good one. Number 11, Fire and Blood, which was season 1, episode 10. That's when Daenerys comes out of the fire with the dragons.
Oh, yeah.
Eh. Dragons and boob, man. Come on.
Yeah, that's true. I probably liked it a lot more at the time.
number 10, and now his watch has ended, season 3, episode 4. That's where she, Daenerys, bought the dragons and then fried the guys.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. Number 9, The Lion and the Rose, season 4, episode 2. That was the Joffrey turns purple.
Yeah, I like that.
That was a good one. Number 8, and I think this is way too low. This is The Winds of Winter, which was the last episode of season 6. That, to me, should be number 1. That was
I wouldn't argue that one.
She blows up the Sept, and
yeah, that's a good episode.
And Tommen jumps out the window. That one should be number 1 on my, at least not top 3, but it's 8 on their list. The Door, season 6, episode 5, the famous Hold the Door.
Way overrated.
Number 7, yeah, that's
way too high.
This one I think's about right, Mountain and the Viper.
That was a good episode. I like that.
Yeah. There was some really strong acting when he goes to talk to Tyrion before he's going to. That was just really good. Number 5. Now you're into your top 5 all time. Blackwater, season 2, episode 10. That's where the Stannis' army invades Blackwater Bay and they blow them all up with wildfire.
That was okay.
That was a good one. I think that's too high. Here's another one that
I think I was confused because I didn't really understand wildfire at the time.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that was basically what the episode was about.
Pretty much.
So,
Number 4, The Reigns of Castamere, which was the Red Wedding. If you're not going to put the season 6 ender number 1, I think the Red Wedding's number 1.
That's way up there to me. 4 might be too low. I'll have to hear what's ahead of it.
Number 3, Hard Home. That was the...
that was a big battle.
The battle with the Night King where they got their ass kicked in the snow. Against the
when they were like left on that little island, yeah, and they had to get saved.
Yeah.
I think that's too high, especially because the next episode was stupid.
Number 2, this was way too high. The Dragon and the Wolf, which was episode 7 of season 7, where Jon and Daenerys head to King's Landing and they meet with Cersei, and it just wasn't. I didn't think that one belongs in the top.
Number 1, Battle of the Bastards.
Battle of the Bastards.
Yeah, I figured.
I wouldn't argue that one. I preferred the season 6, The Winds of Winter, and I would have also taken the Reigns of Castamere over it. So, but that's just me.
You know what I'd take? Trip to London.
Yes.
You know what you're going to take? Trip to London.
Can't wait.
You know what you guys should be doing? Taking a trip to London with us. Guys, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. And you can, there's limited space on this trip, but you could still get in now. It is you're going to see everything that London's got to offer, but it's just wrapped into a road trip for the local football team in Houston. They're going to play the game out at Wembley Stadium. You'll have tickets to that. You'll have a 5-star hotel downtown London, transportation, pep rally, tailgate, game day tickets, and much more. It's a first-class operation, and the attention to detail is amazing. I mean, you're going to be staying in the best hotel. You're going to have a great mix of structured group stuff to do, along with some personal time when you don't want to be around other people.
Yeah, and all you have to do is show up. They take care of everything for you. And you better reserve your spot. Only $300 right now to get your spot reserved. Call now. Don't wait till the last minute, especially if you want to go and hang out with a bunch of other people in London. I mean, this is about as good as it's going to get for a trip when you can go watch football with it. And the guys who own this place, you can get in touch with them almost any time. They personally host the trips. So if anything happens, they're right there because they got it all put together for you. All you have to do is visit biggametravel.com for more information. That's biggametravel.com. Take the trip to London with us, biggametravel.com.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And see, Tuesdays even make our good texters bad. Deacon, who usually does a good job. Why are we even talking about Asuna? Are you guys not aware that his case was thrown out and he was acquitted because the victim's account had several holes?
Yeah,
there's serious question to his credibility, and accusation does not equal guilt. Deacon, do you realize that you missed the entire point of what I said. You want to know why that there's people out there around the country that don't like the Astros because they went and got that guy. Whether he's whatever that happened there, it doesn't matter. It's just one of the things, and that's what we're talking about. And if you're, we're not re-debating whether or not they should have done it. And yes, we're aware. Don't give me the "are you aware?" Yeah, I'm aware. Come on, man. That's a D-minus text today. So, all right, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. People keep asking if we've seen Chernobyl. I've got it recorded, but I haven't. I got to be honest. It's just, it's not capturing me. I mean, I just don't know how interested in I really am in watching it. Have it, but.
So this is a, this Chernobyl, it's a show, right? Not a movie.
Right. It's a like a mini series.
Okay.
And I just don't know how into that I am right now.
I don't either. How many episodes are we talking?
I'm not even sure. I've got three on the DVR that I haven't watched yet. Is it technically a DVR now? Or is it just your...
on your hard drive?
Yeah, it's just on the TV. But
I don't know. I have seen on my timeline so many people posting their HBO canceled screenshots. A lot of people are moving, so a lot of people aren't watching it.
Yeah.
No. So far, it says 5 episodes.
I'm already.
Or maybe there are 5 episodes total. I can maybe commit to that.
Yeah. I don't want to do 10 episodes of something right now.
Now I got to see. I got to see how long these episodes are. That's a game changer too. I don't see it anywhere, but yeah, I don't know.
I'm getting a lot of positive reviews on the text line, so yeah, I will watch it at some point. And I actually did kind of watch a little bit of the beginning one night, but I was busy doing something else and wasn't really paying attention, and it wasn't really grabbing me.
9.6 out of 10 on IMDb. That's strong.
Is that good?
That's strong.
Okay. I'm not good at math, but I think that's pretty solid. So, Justin says 6 episodes total. They're 1-hour episodes. Okay, I think I can handle that. He also says it's excellent.
All right.
Well, I haven't had anybody tell me it sucks yet. But I'm sure I'll get it. 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776.
It's currently the second top-rated show of all time on IMDb. There may be some recency bias there.
Yeah.
Number 1, Planet Earth 2.
Boy, people love those Planet Earths.
I haven't even watched any of it. I see Earth all the time. I don't need to watch it on my TV. Chernobyl 2, Band of Brothers 3, Planet Earth, the original, 4, Breaking Bad 5, Game of Thrones 6, The Wire 7, Our Planet 8, which I'm guessing is another similar to planet Earth.
Yeah.
Cosmos 9, which I don't know what that is. I don't
me
know
either.
Maybe it's like Planet Earth, but for space.
Oh, I bet it is. Oh, I think that was that thing Neil deGrasse Tyson did.
Okay.
I watched some of that. It was interesting.
And then 10, Blue Planet 2. You'll be glad to know Rick and Morty comes in at 12, one spot above The Sopranos. So you can take all that for what it's worth.
I love me some Rick and Morty, though. I wonder now, though, there were so few episodes of it before. Now that they've done like 70-episode deal over the next several years, I hope it can stay as great as it is. Because if it's one of those that have ended right now, I'd be like, oh, man, that was amazing. But
Stuart says, are y'all going to consider dropping Netflix and going to the Disney streaming service when they take all the Marvel movies off Netflix? I'll be honest, my wife, because I've got 2 young boys, my wife buys every one of those Blu-rays / digital copies of the Marvel movies. So wherever they're at, they can watch them on their iPads or whatever. Yeah. So I mean, and honestly, the reason I have Netflix now is for original content. I'm very rarely am I like, you know what? I really want to watch this old movie and go watch it.
Yeah, I can still find those on my DirecTV. If I want to see something like that. So
I don't think I'll be getting rid of Netflix for that Disney thing. I mean, now...
It depends on what's on it.
I can't say that it won't be added to Netflix. That's the problem. I'm streaming. I've got so many subscriptions to television stuff now. God bless Amazon, who... I mean, My wife has that Amazon Prime membership anyway. They're just like, oh, well, here, have some movies, have some TV shows. I appreciate that because my wife was going to pay for that anyway. But everything else, Hulu and Netflix and all that other crap, I can't get rid of any of it because there might be a show I want to watch on it. It drives me crazy.
Yeah, Hulu's the only one I don't have. I think I've got everything else. I may have Hulu, too.
I got Hulu for one show. I don't even remember what the show was, but I was like, oh, there's something on Hulu I've got to watch. And I just, you know how it goes. You just don't get rid of it. Once you subscribe to it, it just comes out of your bank account, and you never see it.
Yeah. You guys keep up with Barry on it. I love that show.
I've heard good things.
And I love the way it ended this season. It's definitely worth checking out. But it ended the same time. So 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Somebody said, I know we're trying to move past Game of Thrones, but correct me if I'm wrong. Did I see even more Dothraki in the final episode? Yeah.
Well, there's a ton of them.
I don't know how those things were breeding, but
there's no women.
All right. The 713-780-3776. I got so much non-sports stuff I wanted to do today, but I've also got a bunch of sports. I'm confused. Because I kind of feel like there's some Game of Thrones fatigue, so I don't really want to do any more of that. And I felt like we covered it pretty well yesterday.
Yeah.
So
I'm not opposed to I'm not opposed to having a little bit more. I mean, clear it all out. And that's not like we're gonna be talking. I don't want to be talking about this. In a month.
That's true. And there may be some people that waited until yesterday to watch it, and that being the case, so maybe we'll do a little bit more. All right, but we should have Jerome next, right? Isn't that the plan?
Supposed to be, as long as he picks up his phone.
Okay. I know he has it with him because I texted him earlier today.
Oh, he didn't even text me back.
Oh, well, I was asking him about filling in for AJ. So, all right, guys, are your credit card bills keeping you up at night? Interest rates in the double digits? Well, be smart. Pay off your credit card balances with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. Get a fixed rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay. And this is so easy. They want to reward people with good credit. You could save thousands in interest depending on what your credit card APR is. Some of them, it's as high as 22%. Well, if you can get 5.95 and get a loan anywhere from $5,000 to $100,000, there's no fees. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Plus, LightStream is a division of SunTrust Bank, one of the nation's largest financial institutions, so you can have complete peace of mind. Want to save even more? Blitzers get an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to LightStream.com/Fred, LightStream.com/Fred. Subject to credit approval, rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/Fred for more information.
On your knees,
this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Oh, okay. We do have our man, Jerome Solomon. Star of stage and screen and TV. What's going on, man?
Not much, man. Yeah. Did a fancy job on the TV show the other night.
We did all right?
Yeah. AJ with the classic, you know, toss back to the studio.
I thought you'd like that. Who was better?
Hilarious.
Who was better, us or Matt Thomas?
Well, really?
Yeah, I want to know. Give me the truth.
You already know? Matt Thomas sounded so much like Matt Thomas. Yeah, Matt Thomas.
Okay, so we were way better. Matt Thomas sucks.
He was outstanding, yes.
Oh, okay.
And so were you guys.
Oh,
so,
all right.
Well, two of you, y'all, that's double team. That's not fair.
That's true.
That's like James Harden against, you know, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. That's not fair.
Okay, we know how that turned out. Speaking of which, we were talking about this at the beginning of the show, putting a little context to the Warriors. Five straight trips to the finals, and how remarkable that is, and in a sports age where we're seeing some of the best we've ever seen in certain football now with the Warriors. I mean, what kind of perspective do you put this in?
Yeah, I mean, it really is the best among the best ever, just because of the way the world is. But I also think that in part of the way the world is, there's so much more movement, there's so much more activity now. Like, I think I flip it a little bit. Now that we've seen enough of these for the last 15, 20 years, there's so much movement now that people go, well, it's so hard to maintain because there's so much movement. Well, I'm thinking there's so much movement. It's also hard to build a team that can get these guys, you know? And in the past, you were able to do that. I mean, if Jordan and the Bulls took a while to get past Boston first to get to Detroit, then they couldn't get past the Pistons. If there was as much movement then as there is now, who knows if the Bulls had made the right moves all along to be able to eventually beat the Pistons. You know what I mean? And the Warriors have had no movement. They've had additions, period. They haven't lost anybody that was important to the team.
Harrison
whatsoever.
Barnes is the biggest guy they've lost. Harrison Barnes.
And he didn't count.
And they replaced him with Kevin Durant.
They replaced him with guys way better. So their movement has been additions. So the argument of I'm not diminishing at all. It's amazing. It's amazing that you're able to with all the movement that they've had no movement. Every other team has lost better players across the board, and they weren't as good as the Warriors in the first place. It's fascinating to watch them do it, but it is different than the Patriots, who they lost players, replaced them with other players, replaced them with no-name players, turned no-name players into stars, and it is different in football and how to get it done. You know, their best player has been there the whole time, but it's pretty doggone impressive. You got to give them credit.
What would have to happen this offseason for the Warriors to not be the favorite, at least to win the West next season? Because we assume Kevin Durant's going to be gone this offseason. Who else would have to leave with him for you to not think the Warriors were the best team in the West?
And that's what I think is part of what I'm saying that makes them so special. I don't even think if Klay Thompson left, they wouldn't be the favorite. Unless Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson went to the same team.
Right.
Unless Kevin Durant came to the Rockets on a minimum contract.
Right.
You know, or Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant came to the Rockets. You know, we're talking about in most of the scenarios that are even available with Durant and or Klay Thompson leaving, Durant will be going to the worst team in the league or one of, and Klay Thompson will be going to the one of the worst teams in the West. Or if he goes to the Lakers, that doesn't make those teams that they're not LeBron James, you know, in the way that the world has worked, where LeBron has moved around the Eastern Conference and kept moving up. So the Warriors are going to be the favorite. Doesn't mean they'll win, but they'll be the favorite. They're going to be the favorite until Steph Curry loses a step. Because what he's done just in the last week is a good reminder of this dude is ridiculous. He's better than everybody else. Except he's not better than Kevin Durant. He's just better than Kevin Durant, if that makes any sense. Like, Kevin Durant's a better basketball player. Steph Curry's better. Just better. I know it doesn't make any sense, but it's a fact.
Jerome Solomon is our guest. So all these rumors about the Rockets, can they trade Chris? Is there any way they can trade Chris Paul? I mean, it doesn't seem like there'd be much of a market for that contract.
I can't imagine. There would be a market for that contract. It's not really even like baseball where you can eat up a guy's contract and send him somewhere and you pay half of it, which the Yankees have done many times. It's not really like that in the NBA. But more importantly, any place that could absorb the Kevin Durant contract, they don't have anybody you want. Anyway, right? Any team that goes, I'm not Kevin Durant, any team that wants Chris Paul, what do they have? If they want Chris Paul, clearly they don't have anybody better to send to you anyway. So that's just not going to happen. I can't imagine the miracle five-team trade where some team ends up with Chris Paul and believes it improved its team because it got Chris Paul.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this before. If you think Chris Paul is the last piece to get you there. That's one thing. And I think maybe Boston could – Boston's a team who's got some close pieces that, you know, maybe without the cancer of Kyrie Irving, if they replace him with Chris Paul, maybe they're
that's
solid.
A maybe. And yeah, even that's a maybe.
But what would Boston have to send back to match salary because they're both over the cap? Now you're talking about gutting a team that's close. It's just not going to happen for a 34-year-old dude.
I'm even, you know, more critical of it than that, AJ. Think of it this way. Let's say Chris Paul had no contract and was playing on a minimum. Okay, Boston wouldn't mind having him join the team. The Rockets wouldn't even take Chris Paul on a minimum contract to add to the team they have now, would they?
No.
Yeah, let's think about it. The Warriors wouldn't take Chris Paul to add to the team they have now. He's a no-add situation, so how's he going to add to a team with this salary? I mean, I'm not doing hindsight of 2020. I think signing him to that contract was worth it because you might have gotten lucky and won your championship.
Yeah.
You didn't. So now you got to pay the piper.
Now you're stuck.
and you could be paying the piper now, and you had a parade last year, and we'd all be like, boy, it's going to be ridiculous the next few years. You got to pay Chris Paul. But, man, remember that parade? Well, there was no parade.
Yeah, that's because there was no hamstring for those last two games. So what do you do if you're the Rockets? I mean, obviously, you're having to hope that both Thompson and Durant leave. And even if that, what can you do to stay ahead of these other teams in the West?
I'm not as worried about the other teams in the West as people tend to talk about, because there's so many fake comers and goers throughout league history. What other teams in the West? I mean, come on. None of them are championship caliber. None of them are going to win a championship. Seriously. I mean, they're just not. And of course, their fans and media covering them are like, and the Rockets are never going to win either. But the Rockets are better than those teams now, and they should be better than them going forward. The Warriors drop back a little bit. The Rockets have to put together packages, non-Chris Paul packages, to try to find another addition. And it's been that way since Morey got here. He said it to me many times, and he firmly believes it, and it's kind of factual that you need three star players. And right now the Rockets have one. So, I mean, it's just that simple. The Dwight Howard move was a great move, because without Dwight Howard, you had one player. You got Dwight Howard, you thought you were getting two, and you did, and you got as close as you're going to get with that guy, but you got to keep swinging for it. You got Chris Paul, you had two star players for about three quarters of a year, even though part of that year was in the playoffs. And you just got to keep swinging for it. There's no untouchable players on the Rockets, right? No,
James.
Yeah. Other than James Harden, there's no one. And the reason James is untouchable, I think he's a way better player than you used to, AJ, but the reason he's untouchable is how can you improve by moving him? You can't.
Right.
So, but a whole bunch of those other guys, you can improve by moving them. You just got to find the right move to make it happen. And you're stuck with Chris Paul. You're not going to get away from James. Everybody else is on the table. And you did mention thing about Eric Gordon. I mean, Eric Gordon was outstanding when he was great this year. But let's not act like you can't do better. And I'm certain there are teams who think he is better than he is. You got to find that team with a player that you want more and packages that you can get more. But it's going to be tricky. That's Daryl Morey's job. You got to improve any way you can. And they don't have to improve that much if the Warriors fall off.
But we just said they're not falling off.
That's significant. Because if all the Warriors do is lose Kevin Durant, these Rockets aren't good enough to beat them.
Right.
They can, but they're not the favorite. But the Rockets have to get better to be able to beat the Durantless Warriors.
Do you think at this point that the Capella, like signing Capella, bringing him back, whatever the money was, I mean, but let's just say at the money that they did, do you think the Rockets made a mistake in not letting him walk away?
No, I don't think so. Because that is one of those, too, where were you going to do better than Capella somewhere else? And for what they're paying him, it sounds like a large number, but it's not. The kids are making half of what Chris Paul and James Harden's making.
Yeah.
Half. So you can find a player better than him for that amount. Good. Go find that player and make the move. You know, but to act like the Rockets this year, if Capella wasn't on the team, imagine how bad they would have been. You know?
Yeah.
So no, they're not paying him superstar money. People are overdoing it. I mean, he's going to be a rich kid, and he's doing well, and he's happy, but he's not being paid like a star. He's nowhere near a max player. He's not getting paid max money. He's getting paid what he's supposed to get. You need him to be better. You need him to man up and become a guy that can deliver against all kinds of teams in tough situations, which he wasn't able to do this year. But he's still young. He still has room to grow. And he's not overpaid. He really isn't. I mean,
but is he for what he's paid? Is he a piece that the Rockets are any closer to a title for having him? I mean, like, can he be the third best player on a team where James Harden is the best player and win a championship?
Yeah, he can be. Not, and that's the word you use. Can he isn't. But he can be.
Okay.
He can get there. And more importantly, the third best player on a team that could win a championship with James Harden as the best player, can you find that player today? Can you find that player who makes only what, you know, Clint Capella is making? Yeah. But can you find that player and makes more than Clint Capella? He's closer to a max player, et cetera? Maybe you can. And that's why you need Clint Capella, because you can trade Clint Capella to get that player. You know what I mean? If that player is available. But that player is not available. Clint Capella is fine. There's nothing wrong with him. I mean, if you're expecting him to be a superstar, you're misreading it. They're not paying him like that. They're not paying him to do that. They do expect him to be better, and he will be. I expect him to be better, because he was better this year than he was last year. He's better. The only two players on the Rockets who were there when they played the Warriors 4 years ago, 5 years ago, the first time they met in the playoffs, are James Harden and Clint Capella. And Capella played like 6 minutes a game. He's a scrub off the bench, wasn't part of anything. He's still there, and he's way better than he was then. He needs to be significantly better going forward, but I mean, you wouldn't think that. If you took Kevon Looney off the Warriors and put Capella in his place, we'd be like, man, that Capella dude just keep delivering. You know why? Because he wouldn't have to.
Yeah.
If he scored 0 points in the game, we won't go, man, Looney didn't even score tonight. Nobody mentions it because they got so many other players. And your main point was, Capella has to be the third best player on this team. He needs to be a better third best player, or they need a better third best player.
Or they need a way better second best player.
Or way, way, way better second player. And so it's not about Capella. It's about he just fell into that situation. It's not really, it's not on him. I mean, it's on him to be better than he is, but, you know, what we want him to be a $30 million player? Nah, he's a $20 million player. That's the economics of the game.
All right, that's Jerome Solomon. Follow him on Twitter, @JeromeSolomon. Good stuff, my man. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you, gentlemen, and thanks for coming on the show, man. It increased my ratings for math.
Hey, anytime I don't have to drive somewhere, I'm in.
You're all over it. No, it really did go well. Y'all were fun. I enjoyed it.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it. All right, man. Later.
That's Jerome Solomon. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Come back. We'll have a gym of the day. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Stone Temple Pilots and Rival Sons just announced their first ever co-headlining U.S. tour this fall. The grunge rock mainstays Stone Temple Pilots with new lead singer Jeff Gutt, along with blues rock outlet Rival Sons, are coming to Revention Music Center on Tuesday, October 1st. And ESPN 975 wants to send you to the concert. At 555, caller 5 to 713-780-3776 wins a pair of tickets to see the show. Get your tickets now at livenation.com.
One of my favorite bands of ever, Stone Temple Pilots.
Didn't they open for Guns when we were in Vegas?
No. That was...
I thought that was them. I don't remember. We were all pretty drunk by the end of that.
Yeah.
No, it was Alice in Chains.
That's who it was. Yeah.
Which, for some reason, I always confuse those two name-wise. Just like my Kevin Hart thing. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, we go to Mexico, where apparently armed robberies have gotten so common on buses in Mexico that commuters have had to come up with a solution to not getting robbed every time they get on a bus. Many are buying fake cell phones to hand over to the thieves instead of their real smartphones.
That's a good move.
They cost about $300 to $500 pesos a piece, which is about $15 to $25. And they have a startup screen, and they look like dead ringers for the original. And inside, there's a piece of metal to give the phone the heft of a real article.
All right.
But first off, I think it's very sad that you have to buy a fake phone to not...
Sad.
As Trump would say, sad.
Build a wall.
Bad hombres. But I think that sucks. Number two, that's a pretty cool idea.
Yeah.
And number three, man, that's a good business to get into.
It's not a bad call, man.
Probably your unit cost is probably $2 or $3, and you're getting $15 for it. So,
I looked. Oh, sorry. Is that the Zadok Jewelers?
That is the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
Sorry.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Who's robbing buses, by the way?
I was looking up. You were right. It was Alice in Chains who we saw at that concert. And I was looking up the lead singer of Stone Temple Pilots, that Jeff Gutt. And sadly, Stone Temple Pilots, their previous two lead singers, both killed themselves.
I hope he's stable.
I hope so. Jeff Gutt, apparently, he gained fame on the show X Factor, where he became... he was the runner-up to, I don't know who won, but he was the runner-up on that show. And that was in 2012. So, I mean, if you finish runner-up on X Factor and you don't kill yourself, maybe you are solid.
I hope so, for his sake.
Yeah. That's a scary thing. It's like a... It's like the Joker, right? They say the curse of the Joker.
Yeah.
I hope he doesn't have it. But I love Stone Temple Pilots, one of my favorite bands ever. I don't know. I've never heard this this Jeff Gutt sing anything, but I always thought Scott Weiland was one of the most underrated singers in the 90s. I love his sound. And then Chester Bennington, obviously a great singer too. A little different than what Scott Weiland was, but he had his own thing going. So I don't know what this Jeff Gutt guy is, but he's got big shoes to fill, man. That's a I'm curious to hear him. I want to be there.
Maybe you should find something that he sings with him.
I'm working on it. Okay. Apparently they did Plush last March, so okay. I'm trying to get to a good part where it actually is full song.
Okay, yeah, I'll hear that. Plush is that's a good one to grade them on. That was like their first big hit, I think. That album was really good. Core was the name of that album. That was a really good album. Those guys had it going on. They came out around the same time as all those other grunge bands did, but they were from San Diego instead of Seattle.
Yeah.
So they kind of got lost in the mix a little bit. But, man, I love those dudes. Love them.
All right. 713-780-ESPN. Is my man Lawyer Dave on the phone? No. Okay. It's because he's probably out winning cases. That's what he does. Wins cases for the Blitzers. And if you've been hurt in an accident, whether it's a car accident, 18-wheeler, industrial, workplace, slip and fall, any kind of accident, Lawyer Dave's going to take care of you. If you've gotten bad drugs, doctor or hospital negligence, guess what? Lawyer Dave is going to take care of you. Practices everywhere in Texas. Here's the best part. Consultation's free. Doesn't charge you anything. And if you need a doctor from your accident, guess what? They're going to put you with one. He doesn't get paid until you win. So he's on your side. And I'm telling you, this guy's handled things for AJ. He's handled things for me. He can take care of you. And he's as good as they come, man. Give him a call, 713-626-8900. 713-626-8900. You can also get him on Twitter at Lawyer Dave Law. You can also go to lawyerdave.com. You can always hit me up on Twitter, and I'll get you the number, and I'll get you his Twitter handle as well. 713-626-8900. 713-626-8900. Need a lawyer? Better dial Dave.
What that is gone, you go and play.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.